Today on the Pastor's Study, we begin a new study, a new series of studies entitled Things to Come or the Last Things. For the next several weeks, together we will be looking at the next prophetic events on God's calendar. Today we begin by looking at the rapture. But before we begin today, as always, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask today that as your word goes forth, that you would use it for your honor and glory. Father, we pray the listener would be blessed, would be edified, that their faith would be increased. And Father, we pray for that lost, precious soul listening today that's never trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else to save them, that this would be the very day of their salvation. Father, we ask it now in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I said, today we begin by looking at the rapture. As we begin our study, I want to make sure you understand that the rapture of the church and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ are two separate events. You see, at the rapture, Jesus will descend to a point above the earth and call all believers to him. At the second coming, the Lord will come all the way down to earth with the believers that make up the church, the body of Christ. In our study on the rapture, we will look at four main points, and they are as follows. We'll look at what is the rapture, and then we look at and we'll answer number two, who will be involved in the rapture. The third thing question we'll ask and find out about is when will the rapture take place, and then point number four, we'll look at what will be the results of the rapture. Point number one, what is the rapture? Now, the word rapture is best defined as the state of being transported or caught up from one place to another. And in the rapture, we are learning about that transportation is from this earth to meet the Lord in the air. Let's look at some of the passages of Scripture that point this out. The first one I'd like us to look at is found in 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 4 of 1 Thessalonians. Beginning in verse 14 down through verse 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Another passage of Scripture that talks about the rapture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Let's turn there together. And we want to look at verses 51 through 53. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. According to the verses we just read, Jesus will descend from heaven to a point just above the earth and will call for the church. The saved people will, in a twinkling of an eye, go up to meet him. Let's look at our second point. Who will be involved in the rapture? Well, the first person that will be involved is the Lord Jesus Christ. We just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. My friend, isn't it exciting that the very one that loves us so much is the one that will be coming for us? Not an angel or some special servant, no. But Jesus will be coming with a shout. Another participant in the rapture will be the archangel. Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, we read, with the voice of the archangel. Now, the name of this archangel could very well be Michael. The Bible reveals that Michael is an archangel. And we also know from the Scriptures that Michael will be very involved in Bible prophecy. Turn with me, if you would, to the prophet Daniel. The prophet Daniel with me. And we want to turn to the prophet Daniel. Daniel chapter 12 in verse number 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, within that verse in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, notice with me, it says, the children of thy people. And this is a reference to the nation of Israel. You see, the Bible teaches that angels are connected with nations. And Michael the archangel is connected with the nation of Israel. So when the church is caught up at the rapture, God starts dealing with Israel as a nation again during the tribulation. The mention of Michael being involved with the rapture is evidence of this. Now, the largest group involved in the rapture will be all Christians that are dead. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 16, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, "And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." The bodies of those believers that have already died will be raised up and transformed into an incorruptible, immortal, and glorified body. This does not mean that they're not in heaven now. Those who have died in Christ are in heaven now. That is, their soul and spirit are in heaven. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 8. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So the saved that have died in Christ are absent from their body, but their presence, they're in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my dear friend, the Bible teaches that the soul departs the body at death for either one or two destinations, either heaven or hell. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35 shows us that the soul departs the body at death. Look in verses 17 through 19. And here we are in the context, it's talking about Rachel. "And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing," you see that? "For she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is in Bethlehem." So we see then that the soul departs the body at death, and it goes to one of two destinations, either heaven or hell. We know over there in Luke 16, we see the account of the unsaved rich man. He died. And then we read, he lifted up his eyes in hell, and he had all his senses, and his memory was intact. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, tells us that the spirit returns to God at death. Looking in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse number 7, Then shall the dust return to earth as it was, and the spirit, here it is, shall return unto God who gave it. Jesus will bring forth those who have died in Christ. He will bring forth their former bodies, change the former bodies to a glorified one, and then reunite the soul and spirit with the new glorified body. And we'll look, our next study will be on the glorified body. But let's look quickly at some verses that talk about the body being changed. Look in the book of Job. Job chapter 19 with me, if you would. Job chapter 19. And notice what it says here in verses 25 and 26 of Job chapter 19. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And here it is. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." So even Job knew that his body would be changed, even though the worms would eat it, would destroy it. Amen. That someday he would see God in his flesh, in his new glorified body. Now let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 to 21. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." And then one last place, the first epistle of John, chapter 3, in verse number 2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear," that's when the Lord appears, "we can know this, that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." So the bodies of the believers who died in Christ will be caught up together with the other believers that are living at the time of the rapture to meet the Lord in the air. Now the next group of people that will be involved in the rapture, those Christians that will be alive when the rapture happens. And that we possibly, you listening to me today and myself, could be in this group. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, we read, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Each one of us who is saved will in a blink of an eye be transformed into an incorruptible, immortal, and glorified body. They will also be caught up from this earth with those deceased believers to meet the Lord in the air. And nothing, absolutely nothing, will prevent this from happening. Not a pressing engagement, a job, sickness, or even the gravity of this earth. When the Lord calls, we will be changed and go to meet Him faster than you can blink your eye. Now, the last group of people involved in the rapture are sometimes a little harder to identify. I believe this group will consist of all babies, small children, and even those with diminished mental capacity that have not come to the age of or have the mental capacity of knowing good from evil. This is sometimes referred to as the age of accountability. Now, the Bible teaches when a baby dies, his soul and spirit go to heaven to be with the Lord. The baby's body will be resurrected at the rapture. The baby does not go to a place called limbo when he dies, as some religions teach. Let's look at some verses dealing with this subject for a moment. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, here we have David referring to the baby Bathsheba had from their act of adultery. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 12. The baby has died. Amen. And notice what David says in 2 Samuel chapter 12 now, in verse 23. We read here in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. But now he is dead. David's referring to the baby. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And other David was referring to when he himself died, that he would see that baby again. Amen. In heaven. Let's look at some verses dealing with accountability. In other words, being able to know good from evil. Let's turn first of all to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we want to see in Deuteronomy chapter 1, in verse number 39, we read, moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. So what's being talked about is the young ones, the children of those Israelites who had God had delivered with the help of Moses from bondage in Egypt. The adults had sinned against the Lord. They were disobedient. And so they wouldn't enter into the promised land. All that generation would die in the wilderness. But their children, see, weren't held accountable because they weren't older enough to realize what they were doing or what their parents were doing. So they're not being held accountable. They're going to be allowed, God says, to enter into the promised land. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 with me. Again, we're looking at verses dealing with this issue of accountability. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Amen. In other words, where there's no law, where there's no understanding or knowledge of the law, there's no transgression. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. Paul writes, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. That word means to put on one's account when there is no law. And then in Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 13. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. These verses show us where there is no law, there's no sin. So a baby, young child, without the law, until the age of knowing good from evil, are without sin. Therefore, no law, no sin. Then God sees them as converted or saved. And so at the rapture, this group, whether dead or alive, will be caught up to heaven to be with the Lord. Well, we still have some other things that we want to see here about the rapture. And we will finish up next time here in the passage study our discussion on the rapture. But until we meet again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor's study. Until we meet again on the pastor's study, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.